This is Emory University Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Emory University Sound Science, Helen Mayberg discusses a new and promising treatment for severe depression and what researchers now know about this serious and dangerous illness.
The illness is defined by this pervasive low mood combined with a loss of interest pretty much in everything, as well as an inability to experience pleasure. And accompanying that can be a change in one's attention span, change in appetite, sleep, libido, a sense of helplessness and hopelessness that actually is pervasive, that the way you feel cannot end. And what can accompany that sense of hopelessness can often be a sense of being better off dead. In some ways, depression is like headache. It's like fever. It's a constellation of symptoms that can be caused by many things.
Despite the many causes of depression and how profound the suffering can be, treatment usually does prove effective for most patients.
Once a diagnosis is made that someone has a depressive episode or is depressed and that warrants treatment, that the treatments available are easily accessible. One thing we're learning scientifically, and that science and experiments over many, many years of clinical experience have shown, is that depression is treatable and that people will tend to get better on either therapy or medication. You just need to be diagnosed and be properly treated and follow through with treatment.
However, for a handful of patients, their depression is severe and unrelenting. Conventional treatments just don't work, and researchers aren't yet sure why.
We have a small group of patients, but significant number of patients. So say it's even only 5% of 20 million people in any given time for which all of the available treatments are ineffective. So the accumulating evidence is that if you don't respond to the first or second treatment, you may have a different form of the illness. In the same way, you know, sometimes a fever is just a virus. Sometimes a fever is leukemia or pneumonia.
For those who have not responded to traditional forms of therapy and have run out of options, Mayberg and her colleagues are exploring deep brain stimulation, or DBS.
DBS is a procedure that's been around now close to 15 years. The way to think about it is like a pacemaker to the brain. But what's very important, what's very different about this treatment relative to drug or ECT, is that it involves a very small wire that's implanted in the brain. And because of the size of the wire and the amount of electricity, you need to get it into the right place.
The right place, says Mayberg, is an area known as the subcolossal cingulate, or Area 25, which she says is often overactive in those with severe depression. But through her research, Mayberg has found that applying a current to this tiny, discrete area can quiet it.
This particular area, very deep in the brain, in an area called the subcolossal cingulate, it has a number anatomically called Area 25, seemed to be a linchpin, almost like a central processor. It's so connected to the thinking part of the brain, to the drive states of the brain, to the hippocampus, to the memory parts of the brain, and its activity seemed to track the best with either getting better or getting sad.
Although some patients report feeling better immediately, and some even during surgery, it takes others longer for their mood to lift, even with the right amount of electrical stimulation.
What we've learned over time is that then you need to have chronic stimulation. We have to tune it and find the right dose. But that it seems to allow a patient to heal and move in the right direction. And that it isn't a passive process. It's an active process. This isn't set it and forget it. It's set it and forget it and then retrain the brain. You know, one of the most important things that I think people can take away from listening to this conversation is the fact that when you've been chronically ill, on average, our patients have been in episode 5 years. 5 years with this pervasive, unrelenting episode. If you aren't dead, you've adapted. You haven't adapted well. But they have a routine that allows survival. You have adapted to a very maladaptive situation. And if suddenly you're now back on the track, it's going to take some time to trust that if I step on the gas, I'm not going to derail again.
Much of what is now known about the brain's delicate circuitry came about through ongoing advances in brain imaging, specifically positron emission tomography, or PET. Although Mayberg has been using PET to study depressed brains for more than 20 years, she began combining it with DBS only recently, in 2002. Without brain imaging to precisely identify the target at the time of surgery, Mayberg says treating depression with DBS would not have been possible.
I mean, the brain, even though when you see a picture of it, looks like a big gray bowl of jello in some ways with some hills and valleys in it, is actually a very organized and exquisitely wired electrical system. It would be like opening up the grid on the telephone and electrical grid in a major city. It's not even obvious what wire is going where unless you're the central controller. And the field of neurology has always been about deciphering that wiring grid.
Mayberg is hopeful that with better understanding of the brain and its circuitry, new and innovative drugs will be developed. Meanwhile, she and her colleagues will continue their research.
I have confidence in the scientific community because when you can hone in on a novel approach to something, people are inspired for more innovation. My prediction is engineers will come up with a way in which you can modulate the system without having to do an implant, that the pharmacologists and the drug development people will come up with ways to modulate this pharmacologically. We may understand the genetics and can make genetic changes. So, you know, I think this just opens up a whole new set of possibilities, and that patients, while being impatient, understandably, were at the cusp of something very new, and I think that we'll look back in 10 years and say, we were doing what? But that's how science proceeds.
I'm Robin Tricolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.